Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When a wrong is committed, either by you or to you, reconciliation requires being honest with God and with the other person. Messes are difficult to clean up, but today you'll get some good advice on how to get started. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. Erwin Lutzer is talking about reconciling broken relationships, giving advice on when to confess past wrongdoings to another person.
Timing sometimes is important. The relationship, that if it's fragile, that also is important. But nonetheless, when the relationship is strong enough, these hidden things must, at the right time, in the right way, through counseling usually, they need to come out and they need to be dealt with. And blessed are those relationships that are strong enough to handle it and within time rebuild the trust that has been so cruelly broken. I understand these things, having been around a little while and seen couples struggle through these things. Must be done carefully, but God would say, I believe that these issues need to be resolved. What about theft? You're stealing from your employer. We've had a number of instances like that too. I've gone to a hospital years ago to help a woman who was cheating on her time chart. And I interceded for her. And there are people, I remember one woman, God bless her, she was stealing money from their checking account by writing down a fraudulent number into their checking account book. Well, she needed to get to her husband before the bank did. Let's just put it that way, okay? Let us say also that if you go to someone who harmed you, don't expect too much. If I remember correctly, about 80% of all abusers deny that they abused you. So don't expect a whole lot. It may be good for you to simply explain to them the hurt that they've created, but human nature is very entrenched. It is protective. And if you've been listening to these messages, you know how narcissistic people are able to get, and they live in denial. All right, now let's continue on. Second principle, or are we already at the third? Yes, we are at the third, of course. I was just checking to see if you were still with me. The confession should be as broad as the offense. The confession should be as broad as the offense. I mean, you know, it's not necessary for everybody to know about this, but the people who have been affected by the hurt, they need to know about it. So what we need to do is to exercise caution and wisdom here. In the case of unrepentant elders, the Bible does say that there's a possibility there that it needs to be confessed before the congregation. But the fact is that, generally speaking, most issues need to stay within the area in which the offense has been, the offense happened. Number four, when appropriate, others should be present. You remember Jesus said this. He says that if you go and you can't be reconciled, bring somebody else with you. Well, of course, we follow the words of Jesus, but I also think that Jesus would agree that there are times when, right from the beginning, someone else should be present during this time of confession. It would have been very unwise for this woman, this mother, to confess to her husband that the third child they had was not his. Let me just say this and take it from me. It would have been very unwise for her to approach her husband and do that on her own, but rather in the presence of someone who's able to help process this very destructive fact. That's the way in which reconciliation often helps, and should be helped, I should say. Next, confession should reflect the seriousness of the offense. It should reflect the seriousness of the offense. Now, just yesterday, I began reading Gary Chapman's book entitled When Sorry Isn't Enough. That's a great title. And the book is very, very helpful in helping us understand as to how we should ask for forgiveness and all of the elements that are involved. So what I'd like to do now is to give you the five different ways that you can say you're sorry when sorry isn't enough. And sometimes all five ways are necessary to ask for complete forgiveness. So you stay with me as we go through these five different ways to apologize. Way number one is, I'm sorry. And that usually does if it's a minor thing. I'm sorry that I spilled some coffee on your coat. It was unintentional, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I happened to have forgotten to carry out the garbage. I'm sorry. Breeze there a man with soul so dead who never those things to his wife has said. I wasn't planning to quote that, by the way, and I quoted it a little differently than it was originally written, but you do get the impression. And of course, wives too. You know, I'm sorry that I didn't get home when I said I was going to. Most of the day-by-day interaction between us, to say that you're sorry, it is enough. But oftentimes, it isn't. Okay, I messed up. I'm thinking now of a couple where a man took their savings and he invested it in a get-rich-quick scheme on the internet, and they lost all of their retirement. All right, I'm sorry, I messed up. Oh, okay, so let's just move on and pretend that this was no big a deal. It is a big deal. I think sorry is not quite enough. Second, Gary says, I was wrong. I accept responsibility. This was no minor matter. And when you say, I was wrong, you do not add, okay, I was wrong, but look at what you did. That's not the way you say, I was wrong. You take your responsibility so seriously, even if you think that you're only 30% responsible, you look at that 30% as if it is 100%, and you take responsibility for this, for your part. And if the other person doesn't take any responsibility, well, then you begin to understand that that's between them and God. You know, there are some people that you cannot reconcile with. Just simply accept that. They are so toxic. They are so skewed. Their reality is so different from yours that there's really no way that it's possible for you to do anything else except, of course, perhaps if you feel that you have wronged them, to give your side, but then don't expect anything back. What's important is that we do all that is possible for us to have a clear conscience before God and before men. Now, here's something very, very critical. When we have harmed someone, what that person wants to know is that we understand the extent of their pain. You see, that's why saying I'm sorry is often not enough. Because after all, you know, if you've done something to ruin your marriage, then for you to simply say, oh, I'm sorry, I mean, you're sorry? Thank you. But do you understand the pain that you caused in this relationship? And it would be good for you to be able to articulate the pain and to say, I know that my actions did this, 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 because the person whose forgiveness you are seeking needs to know that you understand the depth of the pain. You know, where sin is dealt with, thought of superficially, it is dealt with superficially. And sometimes sin is not at all superficial. Actually, it never is, but there are some instances in which it is absolutely huge. So, to say I was wrong may be very, very important as you get to the depths of the reconciliation process. Well, I'm following Gary Chapman now. Number three for him is this: how can I make it right? How can I make it right? Now, there's some things you can't make right, but there are other things that you can, and one of those things is what we call restitution. You know, in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there's a very interesting story of a man by the name of Zacchaeus who was a small man, and so he goes up the sycamore tree to see Jesus going by, and Jesus just, apparently from our standpoint, arbitrarily says to him, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I'm coming over to your house." Now, remember, he was a tax collector, and tax collectors did not have a good reputation. They really did not. 99% of them made the other 1% have a bad name, let's just say. I think that floated past you far too quickly. And so Jesus is there, and Zacchaeus evidently believes on Jesus, and he says, "Half of my goods I'm giving to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone, I'm going to pay him back fourfold." And you know what the next words of Jesus were? Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this house." Yep. You have been converted because of the fact that you have understood the principle of restitution. Now, you don't always have to repay 5 times or 4 times, but whenever possible, repayment should be made. Let me give you a couple of stories. Here's a man, for example. He's a Christian. And all these stories are true, by the way. Most of them did not happen here in this church, but they are true stories. He loves God. He comes to church, but he was injured in a hunting accident. But when he filled out the form on workman's comp, he blamed it and said that it happened on the job. Why not? You get a check every month, and you get paid basically for the rest of your life, workers' comp. His pastor found out about it, and this was another pastor, a friend of mine, and he said, "You know, that's sin. You have to deal with it." The guy said, "You think I'm crazy?" Yes, my friend, restitution may cost you something. Confessing to the lie, confessing to what you've done against someone else is never, never easy. But the teaching from the Bible would be that it is always worth it. Because after all, it's important for us to see that without a clear conscience, as long as something is in your mind constantly that isn't right, it is always there. It's there when you go to bed at night. It's there when you arise in the morning. It's there at noon when you're having lunch. And we can stuff it down. We can rationalize it. We can give all kinds of names to it. But the simple fact is, it will not go away. There's only one answer, and that is to do all that we possibly can to make it right. Sometimes we can't make it right, but we try to. If these messages have been a blessing, why don't you go to moodymedia.org? That's moodymedia.org. Connect with us. Look around at our website. You can see there a tour that I will be leading in August. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Reconciling Broken Relationships, the 9th in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss more in our list of steps to go through in Reconciling Broken Relationships. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.